My name's Robert, and I am truly an addict.
Robert.
Hey, Robert.
First off, I'd like to thank God for this glorious day. Wow, this is just beautiful, huh? I'd also like to thank the subcommittee for allowing me this opportunity to come up and share my experience, strength, and hope on the fourth and fifth steps. It's a real honor to be at the podium, or the timber, whichever this may be. I need to start out because sometimes I'm not even sure that I really qualify because I only used drugs once for 40 years. And I say that somewhat in jest, but I also say that somewhat because my perception of what I did and how I lived my life after I got into recovery, I found out just how messed up that really was. Just amazing to me. Anyway, to share my experience, strength, and hope on the fourth and fifth step a little bit. I got into recovery and, of course, worked that foundation of the program, the first, second, and third steps. And I truly believe that that is the core of the program. But when I remember when I first came in and I started working those steps and reading the steps and couldn't quite figure out what the heck the other nine steps were about in the beginning. But I also heard very early on that recovery is all about abstinence from drugs and change. And what I found was that the fourth and the fifth steps are that real start of the change. At least it was for me. I was able to stay clean by working the first three steps. But to remain to be clean, I knew I had to do something more. Because I knew the man that I was used drugs. The man that I was would use drugs again. So I had to become something other than the man that I was. And that process started for me in that fourth step. Also, and this is just for me, but you know, I hear a lot of people, they share that the fourth step was a real fearful process for them. Again, just for me, I, in working the first three steps, found such freedom. That spiritual journey started. I started getting some peace and some serenity about myself and my life. When I got to the fourth step, I didn't even question it. You know, I've got a tremendous sponsor. In fact, he's sharing it on the Grove here in a few minutes. And he guided me into that fourth step and through it. And not that I rushed through it, but I did rush into it. Because I knew that if I was able to feel any of that peace and serenity that I felt in the first three steps, if that was going to continue, I had to go into the fourth step. And I think that I did that, I don't want to say fearlessly, but I also truly believe in the third step. If you've got that spiritual connection and you know you're turning your life and your will over to the care of the God of your understanding, what is there to fear in a fourth step? I don't think there's a lot really. You know, there is a matter of some things that might be a little uncomfortable, but for me it wasn't real difficult to go into that step. But not that I didn't falter and make some mistakes. Like in the beginning, of course I wrote this novel, you know, it was about this thick, about all my liabilities. And I handed it to my sponsor, and he took one look at it and said, okay, that's all the stuff you've done that was wrong. All those negative things, but he said, what about some positive things? This is an inventory, and just like if you were to inventory a business, you have liabilities and you have assets. So he gave it back to me and said, I want you to write some things about the positives. And for me, after I worked the step, I was able to take a look at that a little differently and realized that one of the problems that I really had through all my addiction and all my years of using was that there were, the core of my disease is self-centered fear. And by looking at some of my my negative things, that also came, of course, from no self-esteem. I don't even know if I suffered from low self-esteem. I think I had no self-esteem. And working the steps, working that four step, and having to write on the assets, I was able to find out that I'm really not that bad of a person. I wasn't a bad person, I just made some bad choices. Over and over again, expecting different results. For me, the real change started when I was able to take a look at my assets and my liabilities. And even with the liabilities, even some of those things that I did repetitively and did so poorly for a number of years, my sponsor was real good about taking some of that negative stuff and instead of me looking at it as though it was just negative, to use it as a learning experience. Maybe something that I don't want to do again. Or maybe take a look at the reason why I did it. And then not do it again. And by making something that was negative into a learning experience, if I do that, I can actually take that and turn it into a positive experience. Because now I've learned from that. And if I choose to make the change and not repeat the same mistakes, I can learn from them. So now I can take a negative thing and turn it into positive. The more I do that, the better my self-esteem became. And I don't think that, at least not for myself, I've learned that I can't have humility. I can't be humble unless I have some self-esteem. I had a terrible inferiority complex, but covered it up. I mean, most people would think that I was gregarious and boisterous, and that was just a coping mechanism that I found. And all of this was revealed to me in that fourth step when I really looked at it with my sponsor. Some profound, eye-opening experiences for me. We in here are truly blessed. Most people, I think, go through life and never take a self-examination. Never take a look at ourselves. By working a fourth step, we do exactly that. And the growth there is phenomenal. That's such a blessing. And I know that I could never have that without this program. I can't remember the name of the author, but there's someone that wrote, "A life without self-examination is a life not lived." Remember some of those little wow moments when I heard that from somebody. But the fourth step is so powerful, and again, for me, it's all about that change. And I try to, and not that you work the fourth step or any of the steps and then just forget about them. You know, I mean, I constantly try to work on things, even though I'm formally working on the 11th step right now. I'm constantly in that fourth step. Because there's things that, you know, as they say, more will be revealed. And that happens to me on a daily basis. I'll wake up and all of a sudden go, wow, you know, here's another one of those things that I do, and it's not a real healthy thing and I don't understand why. So I'll take a look at that, maybe get in touch with my sponsor, and reflect back to my fourth step. I still have my fourth step. It's in a drawer in my office, and I frequently will pull it out, take a look at it, and maybe expound on it a little more. Then I moved off into the fifth step. And again, with the help of my sponsor, and I did my fifth step with my sponsor. But I think there's a few things for me that really pop out with the fifth step. One of them is that when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, stood up, said that my name was Robert and I was an addict, that denial that we hear about started to wane a little bit. And as you work the steps, my denial lessened and lessened. And when I get into the fifth step, my denial really got crushed. Because now, when you share all that stuff with someone else, with another human being, with God, and with yourself, it's pretty tough to deny it. It's pretty, you know, if you've got a thorough fourth step and you share that with someone, it's pretty tough to deny what you do wrong and right. Again, a lot of that is also a very humbling experience. And I've learned also in here, because I've done it a few times, that if I'm not humble, I will be humiliated. And the fifth step is a very humbling experience. One of the things that a lot of us do to some extent is when we share in meetings constantly, we're doing a mini fifth step. Because we talk about what we do. You know, and then we talk also, of course, about what the solution is, not just the problem. My sponsor was real good about talking, when we did my fifth step, about what those things were that I wrote about in the fourth step, but again, taking even the negative things in the fifth step and turning them into learning experiences and them becoming positive things in my life. As long as I choose not to act out badly on those same things repetitively, my life gets better. Not that I don't. My clean date, by the way, is 11-24-03. You know, in a little over 4.5 years, you know, I've had my ups and my downs, and I've had some things that the disease, the way my mind works, my perception is so screwed up sometimes that I can't see at all what's going on in my life without having someone else point it out to me. And that's, again, almost like a little mini fifth step. I'll get right in the middle of something. I don't want to get into specifics, but I actually thought I was really trying to help someone in some area, in a recovery area, and was doing it so poorly that I actually was, like, taking them on as an addiction and could not see that. And part of that, when I looked back, remembered some things that I did, and I wrote about my fourth step, I realized that people pleaser in me that wants to help someone else, but really help myself because that's making me feel better, just like taking a drug. When I finally was able to work through that, see it, and share about it, that mini fifth step, all of a sudden, the light bulb went on. And I was like, wow, I'm in a place here where I don't need to be, and respectfully backed out. But without some self-examination, without working the steps, without working that fourth and fifth step on a daily basis, I would never see any of that. And I'd stay right in that same rut. And before you know it, if that isn't making me feel well enough, what else is going to make me feel better? You know, I need to make sure that I stay focused. I don't know, it's sort of funny, you know, you get asked to do this like 2 months ahead of time, and you know, I've given like 45 leads in my truck on the way up here, and you know, all the rest of that stuff. And then you start sharing, and you draw blanks real quick. So you know what? I've learned that when God does that, it's time for me to shut up, and I'm going to turn this over to the chair here, John, again. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert, for sharing. I'd like to introduce the second speaker, David Z, from Learn to Listen, group of NA in the Northeast area.
Okay.
For those people in the back, I am standing. It just may look like I'm sitting. I'm David. I'm an addict. Thank you for inviting me to come up and share my experience, strength, and hope. It's an honor to be able to do this. And the honor is in so many different ways to be able to, one, have the time to do this. And by that I mean, when I was using, most of my time was spent in getting and using and finding ways and means to do more. So just being able to have the time to come up and do this. Also to be able to have the time to talk with people before I share and benefit from group conscience and benefit from the experience of others, you know, other recovering addicts, my sponsor, by taking the time to do that. And then having the time to drive out and spend the trip talking with another recovering addict. So that's a gift. You know, that really is a gift to me. My clean date is February 22nd, 1999. Used for about 26, 27 years. First picked up when I was about 12. Used alcohol before that, but picked up the drug when I was about 12. And stuck around and kept trying to use it successfully until I was about 39. And I first was exposed to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous sometime in the early 90s. Stuck around long enough to convince my first wife that I wasn't using as actively and that I had a handle on my using, but didn't stick around. Went out and did more research and then came back. And I've been here ever since, February 22nd, 1999. Recovery for me has not always been easy. I'm stubborn, and I consider myself stubborn. So it takes some pain for me to change, and that was particularly early on in my recovery, where that I was done using, and I can do that first step and admit I was powerless. But as far as practicing that first step beyond putting the drug down, I was stubborn, and I remained that way for a number of years. When I was asked to come up and share, I said, "Yeah, sure," because my sponsor—I've had two sponsors, actually three sponsors before I came in. I had a temporary sponsor for about the first 30 or 60 days, and almost 90 days, and I had another sponsor for a number of years, for about two years, and now I have my current sponsor. And I was always taught by all three of them, if you're asked to give, you give. Whether you like to do it or not, whether you think you don't have the capability of giving, you give. So when I was asked to share, I said, yeah, I'll do that. It'd be an honor, and it is. And then they said, okay, it's about the fourth and fifth step. And honestly, my first response was, oh, man. Fourth and fifth step, because they're a little confusing sometimes. I mean, they were confusing for me when I did them, and I was thinking, well, how can you make the fourth and fifth step fun? And how can you know? It just didn't have the glamour of, oh man, one's great. Let me talk about having the insanity and unmanageability and two and three and all and six and seven, like, but four and five, I was like, oh man. And what I came to realize after sharing that with folks is that it is still the nature of my disease to convince myself I have nothing to give you guys. It's still the nature of my disease to convince myself that I'm a smokescreen. People really are going to find out. What you're going to find out beats the heck out of me, but you're going to find out. So I'm glad that I was asked a number of weeks ago to do this, because it gave me a chance to pray and to seek some guidance, that good orderly direction from my higher power. Sometimes when I say higher power, I think I can't help but think I'm from Pittsburgh. Yeah, my higher power. But to seek that good orderly direction. And gave me an opportunity to really think back about my working the fourth and fifth steps. My searching and fearless moral inventory took me a number of months to complete. In my truest sense, I do like to do research. Right? That's kind of the kind of person I am. And so when I got to my fourth and fifth step, and I'll tell you, I was clean 4 years when I started my fourth step. I was on the step a year program with my sponsors. I'd used a long time. My first sponsor said, look, work on weed for a couple months, do that, and that's what I did. I worked a step a year, and I was 4 years clean, and started my fourth step. Took a number of months to do it, took my time, used every resource possible to do it, because I was afraid of it, because I was convinced that it would really show me just how bad a person I really was. Because while I was using, and even in recovery, I can rationalize some of my bad behaviors, my bad thoughts. I can rationalize all that stuff. And I got to do that by practice. I mean, the truth is, I spent my entire life rationalizing my insane thoughts and also just embracing those insane thoughts. Like, well, if this is how I'm going to be, I'm going to be really good at it. And so I did that. So when I was starting my fourth step, I was fearful. But thank God I had supportive people around me that encouraged me to talk with folks who were working the fourth step. And I did that. And at some point, I don't know, it became, you know, I do believe that God puts me right, my higher power, I call him God, puts me right where I need to be at the right time around the right people. But I have to be willing to hear them. And I believe that. And so at some point I was reading through the literature and it talked about, I think it works how and why, talked about the fourth step just being a report of what it is that we've done. Just put it down on paper. By putting it down on paper, it takes me out of what I did. That self-centered, you know, Robert mentioned it before. What's the core of my disease? Chronic self-obsessiveness. My past is worse than anybody else's past here. I did bad things, worse than everybody else. And I did that. And so at that point, it was just kind of revealed to me, like, first, let me just put it down on paper. Pray before I do it, because it says real clear in our literature. Pray, write, and by writing, it removes you from looking at yourself. You just report it. And that's what I did. And I wrote. And I wrote, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I wrote. And I wrote some more. And I wrote some more, and I wrote some more, and I was concerned to know, will I ever know when I'm done? Because, again, in recovery, it takes me effort to practice not rationalizing my thinking, my diseased thinking, and my diseased actions. So I wrote it. And I wrote it, and the benefit of all that was, and this is, it was real simple. It really was me taking all that stuff that I've done over my entire life that I worked hard to hide, not just from myself, but from my higher power and from everybody that tried to get to know me. Let me just put it all on black and white. And it really was, I wasn't that bad of a person. Done some bad things, but I wasn't that bad of a person. And that was the benefit of the fourth step. I mean, I like to read the Just for Today. You know, I do that. And in the Just for Today, it talks about carrying those pebbles around and those boulders around and how resentments can be boulders and how some of our experiences, we carry them around because we think that if we set them down to share them, people aren't going to like us. Well, I'm a people pleaser. You know, I want everybody to love me. And I thought, boy, if I share this stuff with someone, they're really going to find out. Like I was saying before, I don't know what you're going to find out, but you're going to find out. And, man, I really don't want you to find that stuff out. And what the fourth step allowed me to do was to set some of that stuff down. And this is just for me. I don't know about everybody else, but for me, I remembered every bad thing I did in my life. I cataloged it. I had it set up chronologically. I know how old I was. I know the people I was around, for the most part. You know, there were some things I did during times that I was, you know, really high that I may have lost, but the majority of stuff, and I'm not talking about just for my active addiction, I'm talking about from when I was a kid, when I was 5 years old. I carried all that crap around with me. The fourth step allowed me to start putting some of that stuff down. In fact, I put it all down. And it did. It lightened me up. I didn't have to just keep carrying that stuff around, fearful that I'm going to do it again. Well, I did it before. I'm going to do it again. Why? Because I always did it again. You want proof? I got proof. 1969, 1974, 1983. I can go keep going right down the line, repeating the same thing, expecting different results. I always did it. So when I did my fourth step, I was able to just finally put it down and see it for what it really was. And that was helpful to me because I couldn't glamorize it. I couldn't exaggerate it. You know, our literature does tell us whenever we're doing our fourth step, and I encourage my sponsees to do this, don't glamorize. You don't have to be a hood. You don't have to be a gangster. You don't have to be a saint. Just be you. Write down what you've done. And that's what I did. I was encouraged to do that by my sponsor. Just be honest. Don't make it any worse or any better. And the benefit of that really was that I didn't have to keep carrying that stuff around. The first three steps allowed me to develop that foundation of faith that I could change. I didn't have to run the show anymore. The fourth step was me, what was for me, finally, letting me get out of the way of me. So that's what I did. And I wrote it out. When I finished, I was vacationing in Florida with my wife. I was coming up on my fifth year anniversary. It was December. My fifth year anniversary is in February. And I'm on the phone and I'm talking to my sponsor. And then my wife's around. And I then called the monastery because that's what my sponsor said. Look, I can listen to it. You can go to the monastery. There's St. Paul's Monastery in Pittsburgh. My sponsor went there to do his fifth step. Me practicing, getting out of the way of me, I thought, okay, well, I'll do the same thing. So I'm calling, you know, call information, get the number, calling, setting an appointment, and I had an appointment probably within a couple weeks with Father Paul. And I look at my wife, and she says, what are you doing? Like, what are you looking for this number for? I said, oh, I'm going to do my fifth step. She goes, what step? No, I'm 5 years clean tomorrow. So my fifth step, she goes, is that all you're on? What have you been doing? You know, what steps are you working here? Jeez. And I had a laugh because, to a certain extent, she was right. You know, I don't want to recover too quickly. I kind of like having an out. I haven't worked that step yet. Talk about defects, 6 and 7. Well, if I do 5, I got to start on 6. Because I am positive. I know this very well. If I don't work the steps, I'm not going to recover. I'm not going to change. So that's what I did. And I made an appointment, showed up with Father Paul. Father Paul had some experience in doing the fifth step with folks, and I was frightened because I had to share this out loud. I liked writing. I liked thinking it. You know, it was just my mode of operating. As long as I hold on to it, it's mine. It's nobody else's. I don't have to, you know. It just fit that whole way of me being me, how I am in my disease. Well, I want to say that by me doing my fifth step, when I was done with my fifth step, I didn't see a burning bush. And I didn't see the sky any bluer, and the sun wasn't any brighter. I didn't have angels singing to me or music in my ears or nothing like that. What I did have is the first sense of who I was. Because by sitting down and looking at my fourth and fifth step, I began to get a glimpse of what my higher power's vision for me really was. Because I started, the fifth step allowed me to no longer see myself through, you know, these glasses that were my disease. Because that's how I always looked at myself. It was always through the disease. I'm a piece of crap. I'm no good. It's only a matter of time until I rob from you, try to sleep with your wife, and get what I really want. By doing the fourth and fifth step, I left there with a sense of, I don't have to be that person. Because one of the benefits of doing the fifth step, and I read everything that I wrote out, I read to Father Paul. And you know, he didn't cringe. He didn't say, boy, Dave, you're really effed up, you know? Wow, I can't get... No, didn't do any of that stuff. In fact, what he did was he offered me some hope in saying that, you know, Dave, you're not alone. People have done these things. And I know people who have changed. So it gave me some hope. And the benefit was, really, that in talking with Father Paul was that it was, you know, I had heard all that stuff from people in N.A., my N.A. brothers and sisters. And now I had somebody that was really outside the fellowship telling me that there's hope for me too. That meant something to me. It did something with regard to, and I don't know what it is. I mean, I can't describe it. I can't define it. But I guess what I did is I got some feedback from someone other than who gives me unconditional love. Because you guys give me unconditional love. I show up, you hug me. You know, I make mistakes, I share them, and you hug me. Tell me to keep coming back. And here it was, I was getting this from someone else, like, you know what, I love you too. So that carried some weight as far as at that point in time in my recovery. And it gave me hope. So yeah, I didn't have that burning bush, but the benefit of the fifth step for me, the fourth and the fifth steps, were that I really began to see what the benefits of working the steps were, because I started to feel the change inside. As I said, you know, when I started, recovery wasn't easy for me. It isn't always easy for me. I did things because you guys said if I don't do them, I'm going to use. I did my fourth step because the literature says people that don't do the fourth step are going to end up using. They're going to relapse. My sponsor told me that. The guys in my week told me that. People that I trusted told me that. So that's why I did it. And I did the fifth step for the same reason, because people that don't work the steps end up relapsing. And I didn't want to use anymore. So that, you know, that's why I did it. And I didn't expect any other payoff. I mean, I worked the first, second, and third steps. I had a higher power. Did I always see him working in my life? No, I didn't always see him working in my life. Most of the time, people had to show me how he was working. I couldn't see it. I'm self-obsessed. I'm self-consumed. So people had to show me that stuff. Same way with the second step, returning to sanity. Okay, the sanity was, I saw the immediate benefit of not using and working steps and going to meetings and getting involved in service. You know, I have a home group. I have a sponsor. I pray. I read the literature. I'm involved in service. I did all those things that you guys told me to do. And I didn't use. And I started to see some changes. People weren't looking for me. People weren't calling, asking me, you know, am I going to pay this bill? You know, people weren't, you know, my mom wasn't hiding her purse when I went home to see them. People were actually asking me to be responsible. And I did all those things. But with the fourth and the fifth step was the beginning of me opening up the door to, like, wow, this really is a program about change. Yeah, I can't use successfully. Yes, I'm insane. This is a lot better way of living than I experienced. Yes, there is a power greater than myself. I'm going to do this stuff. I'm going to turn my will in my life. Oh, okay, I'll practice that. I'm not going to do it. I'll practice it. I don't do it on a daily basis. I practice it. Okay. But the fourth step was me getting honest with me. This was my history. This is what I did. And the fifth step, sharing it and being accepted. You know, I had some issues with my mom, and I grew up in a middle class family. My mom and dad did the best they can. My dad didn't drink. My mom wasn't an addict, an alcoholic. But I just had some issues with my mom with regard to that whole dealing with failure stuff. When I got hurt, I don't know about anybody else, but when I got hurt when I was a kid, I got beat. I'd go home, I'd get beat. Oh, what happened? Beat. And I never knew why, but it was just because my mom was so upset that I was hurt. So anyway, I had some issues, and they came out, the resentments came out in my fifth step. And you know what? Father Paul said something really clear and simple that I'd never heard before. He just simply said, Dave, your mother was just simply doing the best she could. You can't expect anything more. And I was like, wow, okay, so he's right. That allowed me to then take a look at the expectations that I set for myself, too, that I set for my wife. Are they really doing the best they can? And that was real helpful to me. That allowed me to have the hope to do the sixth step about looking at my defects of character. Because I'm just trying to do the best I can. The other issue that came up in my fifth step is that because of my past, and as I said, I carried all this stuff around me my entire life, I never thought, even though, you know, I worked the third step and I decided to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him, I really honestly didn't believe that He loved me. I wasn't worth loving. You know, Robert talked before about, you know, that low self-esteem or no self-esteem. For me, with chronic self-obsession and self-centeredness, if I only look at myself through my eyes, I'm always going to be a piece of crap. That's the nature of my disease. So when I was working my fifth step and this, we were talking about this issue, you know, I came up and he just asked a really simple question, and that was, you know, do you think your higher power loves you? And I said something like, I don't know why. And he kind of asked me again. I said, really, I don't know why. You've heard all that I've done. And he just kept going at that same point until he said, don't you realize that part of the reason why you're in NA and you found this and you're not using on a daily basis and you lived through driving under the influence and you didn't OD and die and all these other things, don't you know that those are examples of your higher power's love for you up to this point? And I never thought of it that way. Because I continued to judge myself at that point, I continued to judge myself by my previous actions under the influence, under the power, under the unrestrained hate of my disease. And sharing that and getting that feedback about, you know what, I am worth loving. My higher power does love me. Now, and again, when I came out of this, there wasn't any, the sky didn't part. You know, the world didn't look better. But I still had that hope, that real, clear, honest hope that I can recover and change. Because up until that point, when I hear the term, fake it until you make it, okay, I was following directions and working steps and going to meetings and doing all that stuff. But it, hey, till I had the courage, the hoyones, the guts, to do my fourth step and share it with another living human being, up until that point, all my step work was between me and me and me and my higher power. Now I got serious and said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to open myself up to another human being and my higher power. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that my higher power didn't have value to me. He helped me stay clean up until that point. I'm talking about having the courage to change. And that's what the fourth and fifth step showed for me, that I really was willing to take a good hard look at myself and who I was and what I am up to that point, and then have the guts to say, I'm going to try to change, because after five comes six. And after six comes seven. Here's something else that I'd like to share with you. After I did my fifth step, there were some things there that I didn't want anybody else to see. And so I destroyed it. And I did that under the direction of my sponsor. And then I read 6 where it says you may want to go back to step 4 and take a look at your inventory. And I was like, oh, okay. So it may be worthwhile. It may have been worthwhile for me to save that, because in 6 I kind of ended up writing the same things of my inventory or looking at my defects of character in a different way, of course. But I still think to this day, you know, maybe I should have kept that. That would have been good. Like Robert was sharing, take it out, take a look at stuff. Because one beautiful thing about these steps, or the first one, is that I didn't write them. So I'm following somebody else's direction, which is a great thing. And the second one is that it works. If I follow them, if I work the steps, I can change and recover. I mean, if you're new to the program, what worked for me is I didn't always understand the steps. Sometimes after I've worked the steps, I get clearer understanding. Do I have a better appreciation for 4 today, 5 years later? Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Because I do a 10, and I'm doing an inventory on a daily basis, even as my day's in process. Yes, I have a clear understanding. But if you're new and you don't always understand the steps, it's okay. Just work them to the best of your ability. We're not here to be perfect. I'm just here to try to recover and change on a daily basis. That's all I got. Thanks. I'm David. I'm an addict.